Isaiah 7:14. Therefore, the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel.
Luke 1:26-29. And in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto the city of Galilee, named Nazareth, to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph, of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. An angel came to her and said, Hail, thou that art highly favored, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and cast into her mind what manner of salutation this should be.
Thank you. 1, verses 30 through 33. And the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb, and bring forth a son, and shalt call his name Jesus. He shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David, and he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end.
Then said Mary unto the angel, How shall this be, seeing I know not a man? And the angel answered and said unto her, The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. And behold, thy cousin Elizabeth, she hath also conceived a son in her old age. And this is the sixth month with her, who was called barren. For with God nothing shall be impossible. And Mary said, Behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word. And the angel departed from her.
Thank you.
verses 6 and 7.
And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn.
And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us now go even unto Bethlehem, and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord hath made known to us." And they came with haste, and found Mary and Joseph, and the baby lying in the manger.
And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart.
Thank you. In our Sunday services, we have been going through the book of Hebrews, verse by verse. And at this particular time, we have come to one of the most amazing people in all Scripture, even though he's mentioned very briefly in the Old Testament, and that is Melchizedek. And the Holy Spirit tells us that Melchizedek was king of Salem. And Salem means peace. So Melchizedek was the king of peace. And being that he is a type of Jesus Christ, this brings us to Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6. For unto us a child is born, and unto us a son is given. And the government shall fall upon his shoulder. And his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. And so for 4,000 years, people were looking forward to the Prince of Peace coming into this world. And then this takes us to the manger at Bethlehem in Luke chapter 2. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. And then we have the shepherds who are keeping watch over their flock by night. And the angel appeared unto them, and they were the first to learn that the promised Savior had been born. It was a very peaceful scene under the starlit skies at night. But sadly, the peace didn't last very long, because there were storm clouds on the horizon. And if this surprises us, it shouldn't. And here's why. Melchizedek is one of the most amazing types of Jesus Christ in the whole Bible. And his name first comes to us in Genesis chapter 14. First occurrences are very important in the Bible. And so Melchizedek, king of Salem, king of peace, first comes to us in Genesis 14. It so happens there's another first occurrence in Genesis 14. And that's the occurrence of the word war. The first recorded war in Scripture takes place in Genesis chapter 14. And it was after that war, when Abraham had achieved a great victory, saving his nephew Lot and the rest of the city that Lot was living in, and all the wives and children and the cattle. And when Abraham was coming back from that great victory, Melchizedek pops on the scene, surrounded by a warlike confrontation here, and blesses Abraham. And he brings forth bread and wine. Now, Melchizedek is a type of Jesus Christ. And the war drums are sounding when Christ was born also. The first mention of Jesus as king is in Matthew chapter 3. Selected verses. Now, when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of Herod the king, so they've got one king already, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, where is he that is born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and are come to worship him. So now we've got two kings, Herod, king of the Roman Empire and his area, and Jesus, the king of the Jews. There's a conflict here. When Herod the king had heard these things, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. Herod is quite a case study. We learn from secular history that he was a very, very jealous man, killing off his own children so that they wouldn't take his throne from him. The saying was going around, it is safer to be Herod's pig than it is to be Herod's son. So Herod swings into action. Then Herod, when he had privily called the wise men, inquired of them diligently what time the star appeared. He wanted to know exactly when it happened. There was a reason for this. The reason he gave was, to the wise men, he sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and search diligently for the young child. And when ye have found him, bring me word again, that I may come and worship him also." Unbeknown to the wise men, Herod wanted to worship with a sword. Well, the angels warned the wise men. They returned to their country the other way, and when Herod found about it, the sword started to flash. When they were departed, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream. Here you have one of these amazing night scenes in the Bible. Night scenes in the Bible are always very important. So was this one. The Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream, saying, "Take the young child and his mother, and flee into Egypt, and be thou there until I bring thee word, for Herod will seek the young child to destroy him." So he arose and took the young child and his mother by night, and departed into Egypt, and was there until the death of Herod, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, "Out of Egypt have I called my son." Jesus was probably around 2 years old when this happened. Think of what a troublesome journey it must have been for him and his mother, and for Joseph also. Awakened in the middle of the night. Only this time the tidings weren't good tidings like it was to the shepherds in that night scene. This time it was, "Hit the road and do it now. Herod is on his way." And then when he saw that he was mocked of the wise men, was exceeding wroth, and sent forth and slew all the children that were in Bethlehem and in all the coasts thereof, from 2 years old and under, according to the time which he had diligently inquired of the wise men. Then was fulfilled that which was spoken by Jeremy the prophet, saying, "In Ramah there was a voice heard, lamentation and weeping and great mourning, Rachel weeping for her children, and would not be comforted because they are not." And Jesus is called the King of Peace? The Prince of Peace? If he wouldn't have come, this gory scene wouldn't have never taken place. But there was more here than what met the eye. There was more than just Herod involved here. In Acts chapter 4, we read this. I'm beginning at verse 25. "Who by the mouth of thy servant David has said," now they're quoting what David said in Psalm 2, "Why did the heathen rage and the people imagine vain things? The kings of the earth stood up and the rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against his Christ." So all these heathen kings are standing up against the one who was born king. "For of a truth, against thy holy child Jesus." Now here's the application. Of a truth against thy holy child Jesus, whom thou hast anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate, with the Gentiles and the people of Israel, were gathered together for to do whatsoever thy hand and counsel determined before to be done. This was a worldwide rebellion that took place that night, all centered around little Bethlehem, when Herod drenched his blood with swords with blood. The blood of little children. How can Jesus be called the Prince of Peace? Well, Colossians chapter 1 gives us the answer to that. "And having made peace through the blood of his cross." Now there's more blood being shed. "Having made peace by the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself. By him I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven." So it's true that Jesus Christ is the greatest source of division that there has ever been on the face of this planet Earth. And wars have been fought over him. But he's still the Prince of Peace, because he makes peace where it counts, not between one nation and another nation, or one person and another person, but between you and me and God. That's the peace that he came to establish. And he did it by forgiving our sins. And the only way that was possible was if he would be a fulfillment of Melchizedek, who was not only king of peace, king of Salem, but he was also king of righteousness. And the sin problem is the greatest problem we have. Once that problem is solved, the rest is easy. The rest is easy. And this is the real joy of the manger at Bethlehem. Peace between man and God. Now, the most beautiful account of this that has ever been written is in Luke chapter 2. And it's our blessing to be able to sing that account. We'll have everybody just stand where you are. And if any of you need copies of this, I have more. You can come and get one. The beautiful Luke chapter 2.
And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. No room for them in country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch o'er their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them. And they were sore afraid, and the angel said unto them, Fear not, fear not. I bring you good tidings of great joy. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, and this shall be a sign to you. Ye shall find the babe in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger. Your Savior Christ the Lord. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest,
glory to God in the highest,
glory to God in the highest.
Told them concerning this child, and
At this time, I'd like to wish all of you a very blessed Christmas season. And also, on behalf of my wife and myself, personal blessings to you also. It's a real joy to be here with you and celebrate once again the most amazing event in all history. We look forward also then to the second coming of Christ. He which testifies of these things saith, surely I come quickly. Even so come, Lord Jesus. We'll close our service here then with the hymn, O Holy Night.
Oh,
Again, I'd like to extend Christmas greetings and blessings to all of you, and also those of you who are on the speakerphone. This time we will close, and then for those of us who are here, we will have a potluck.